baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park.
Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It's just so familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Corn.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this is not hold up.
Cream corn tonight. Cream corn tonight. That should be good corn time.
It's a movie.
Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Pretty good. I think it's probably nicer here than LA. You're getting snow out there. What's going on?
Yeah, there's a cyclone of snow and rain. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. LA is the only place where like light drizzles make the news. Burbank is flooded by the airport, Burbank Airport. There's 4 cars that the water's above the tires, but it's the front page on every like news website. And it even says like 4 cars are parsed underwater, but the planes are still going. I'm like, it's not really flooding.
It's not just for LA. It's flooding. Picturing like, cause yeah, I think it was NPR yesterday, the day before, that they're saying, and there's a snowstorm in Southern California. And I was like, well, what part, you know, like, and they're like, obviously, and I've been there when there's been snow on the mountains and so forth too, but
yeah,
there was snow
in the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, which is, that's actually rare. Usually it's in the mountains behind the Hollywood sign.
Right.
But.
Right. Yeah, usually you see the snow caps when you're driving in January down the 101. You can see the snow. But there has, yeah, it's been unusual, I would say. But
picturing the day after tomorrow. It's all coming true.
Right. Just get, what's his name, to break us into the top of the Mall of America.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal and Dennis Quaid, Dennis Quaid made it, but then his partner didn't, or something like that.
Yeah, his partner didn't make it.
Yeah, but
that library? I'm wearing my Ghostbusters shirt. Was that library in Tomorrow? What's the name of the movie again? Was that the Ghostbusters? After. Was that the New York Public Library?
I don't know if it's supposed to be that one or a different one. I really don't know, but yeah, it's all coming true, people. Tornadoes are
happening.
Taking down
those tornadoes are next.
Angeline signs.
Eddie Lord, you're listening to the podcast of Set Jetter Saturdays with the great Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com and follow him on the gram at set_jetter. So I'm excited for the show tonight. We got a good show, and I wanted to kick off with just a small nugget of the greater good that encompasses police uniforms in movies. Okay?
Now,
we could go on for hours.
Some of us could.
Some of us could. But we're going to limit this. So as you know, listeners and viewers, I've been critical and complimentary of different films in the past of the legitimacy of the police uniforms. Some might call it nitpicking. Others might call it attention to detail. You be the judge. Robert doesn't have time for that nonsense, I'm sure.
Well, sometimes I do,
Okay. Well, it's attention to detail. Yeah, yeah. So tonight I picked up a bad one and a good one. So police uniforms and movies, I just want to say the Halloween franchise overall pretty much nails it, at least with consistency.
Is it Warren County Sheriff or is that Haddonfield? I can't remember. But
I think it's one of them. But if you remember, I'll just take Halloween Kills for an example, the prelude or the opening.
Yes.
The uniforms between like the sergeant rank and the decals and the positioning of the badge, they nail it. And they've done that pretty much throughout the whole franchise. They're pretty good.
So, yeah. So I do remember. And I assume you're talking about the Halloween 78 flashback within the movie.
That is it.
I think they did a good job of replicating. Would they afford more than 1-2 cops, I think, in the original Halloween? They couldn't afford just to have random cops running around. But.
Right, right. And that's what I like about independent films. Not that I like it, but I always note that, independent films are low budget. You know that they rented... one police car and like 2 uniforms, like the movie Crash. I know. They There's only two police cars in the whole movie.
There's only two police cars in LA. So
right. On. There's only two in LA. but like, you know, it's fun. And so I think they did a good job Halloween overall.
Okay.
And then a bad one, and it hurts me to say because I love this movie, but Jaws.
Really? Tell me why.
Okay. So here's why. The uniforms are inconsistent. You have Chief Brody wearing the beige, and then like Stranger Things, which is another entry on this list for another show, all the deputies are wearing like blue. That's very uncommon. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I feel like East Coast might wear more blue than, I don't know.
I think that's
true.
Is there
rules to this? Listeners might know. Like, oh, blue is for this and beige is for
sheriff. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tweet us at _podcast and set us straight. But okay, so uniforms aside, there you have Chief Brody, and he, if you remember the scene in Jaws 2, his truck changes. He's driving through town trying to get to the ferry or whatever. He's beeping. You know, there are lights and sirens on there. And the reason they didn't use them is because they weren't working lights and sirens. It was a prop car. But it just always seems so odd that he's driving around beeping. And it's like, you're the chief of police. Like, light up the berries and cherries, well, you know?
Maybe there was, you know, rules back then. You know, it is Martha's Vineyard or that version of Martha's Vineyard. There probably is a no sirens rule according to the covenants.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yes. Or maybe because it wasn't an emergency, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't racing to a call.
Lucky they weren't driving around a golf cart.
I know. This is the most exciting segment ever, listeners. I'm glad we did this. I immediately regret doing this.
You are fixated. I know. I shouldn't say fixated. You
no,
are.
That's a good word.
I don't know. On police uniforms more than anybody else I know. So now I am keeping an extra eye out for. Does this seem legitimate? But
thank you. Yeah. Okay, good. So that was it. So you can tune out now if you want, if you haven't already. But no, we have a great show tonight. We're going to get into something very exciting later. We're going to be revisiting the Razzies year by year. We're going to kick off with the first one later, which I'm very excited just to hear you talk about some of these movies and actors. I really am, especially the Blue Lagoon.
If we still know who these actors are in movies, because sometimes it's like, I have no idea, but
it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. So I'm really pumped about that. And we'll kick it off with what you've been watching. And I'm just going to yield to you. I haven't watched anything too crazy other than just films I've seen in the past. Finished
that counts.
Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I finished Boardwalk Empire. You know, I maintain the first two seasons are very, very solid. Then it takes a big nosedive. And The Last of Us, which I thoroughly enjoy and love very much. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch anymore.
I have not. I don't know if I might just do a big binge one weekend or, but no, not yet. So
I think it is a binge worthy show.
Make it a long movie.
I don't necessarily think it needs to be segmented week by week, which I can appreciate the reason behind. I don't know. It feels like a smart man's Walking Dead, kind of.
Hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Walking Dead with a script, dare I say.
Well, exactly. Walking Dead with good writers. Which, by the way, they released stills this week of Michonne and Rick for the spinoff. And I'm like, just when I thought I was out, they bring you back in.
Are fans still watching it? I mean, did it get you excited, I guess, to watch? Or I don't know.
No.
No.
No, okay. It didn't. Not for me. I did enjoy the show, like everybody, the first season, two seasons, and then, you know, it got really bad. But I just, between that and the fear of The Walking Dead, this thing just won't die.
I feel like, now that you're saying that, I'm like, I feel like they need to do a mashup where there's, you don't realize that The Walking Dead is also the same universe as, I don't know, Hill Street Blues,
right.
You know.
right, exactly.
Something crazy, you know, cop yeah. rock.
So, yeah, I mean, they did that, which is, I don't know. We'll see. But
has The Walking Dead actually had a musical episode yet? Because usually that's the death knell of.
Oh, yeah. It's always the music. That's the white
yeah.
shark.
Hmm.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. I just thought, have they? I don't know. I think I would have heard if they did, but
I know. Yeah, they should. But that's it. And then I rewatched Casino. Watched episode of John Adams, and then I did. I'm all over the place with one.
It's a little random.
The Untouchables.
Okay.
Yeah, you've seen The Untouchables.
Oh yeah. So that's a great it's movie. Interesting. It so I randomly watch old Siskel and Ebert reviews, and they did not like The Untouchables.
They did not.
They did not. Yeah, Brian, or at least one of them vehemently did not, and they just thought Brian De Palma did a horrible job. So it's kind of interesting that over the year, you know, and obviously they've gone and revisited stuff and say, oh, you know, I take it back. But I was kind of surprised because that's usually just kind of people. That's kind of pretty universally liked, I think. But
I think so, and I see what De Palma was doing with a lot of the shots. He was doing a lot of odes to old 30s gangster movies like Little Caesar and Public Enemy, and I could see he did it right. But I could see what some people say that, because he did do some experimental camera stuff, like in the church scene. He does the you know, when there's a close-up, usually there's a soft focus in the back. He used that special lens where it focused on the foreground and the background, so when you look at it, it doesn't look right. It looks cool, but you're like,
well, that's all they could do back then. But he was kind of known for his camera work, you know, Carrie and that one that we'll be talking about in the Razzies that he got nominated for. And I do, I was a De Palma fan, but then I kind of felt like he went overboard towards the latter half of his career. But
like Snake Eyes?
That and Femme Fatale and Raising Kane, I think, was the beginning of the end. Like, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, it was like too much.
Camp, but yeah, so.
No, he did Scarface. But was it Oliver Stone that wrote that? I know. I always get them mixed up. Not mixed up as people, but in Scarface.
I don't know if Oliver Stone might have been involved. I can't remember. So obviously that's known as De Palma's movie. That was probably his peak commercially, critically. But
yeah. But how about you? What have you been watching? You've been watching better things than me.
I went to a movie at the theater. Knock at the Cabin.
Oh.
Got to see M. Night and on the big screen.
Yeah, man.
It was fine.
How is it? Don't spoil it. I'm a big Shyamalan fan.
Here's what happens.
Here's what happens at the end.
So it feels like, you know, there's certain directors, let's say De Palma, Hitchcock, right? It has that M. Night. It tastes like M. Night, you know, within minutes. Yeah. Even if you didn't see any credits or know what you're getting into, you would have felt like, oh, I'm in an M. Night film, just based on the dialogue and how it kind of goes and forth. So it was fine, you know, like that's all I'll say. Yeah.
It was fine.
I don't feel a huge need to rewatch it again, you know, but it has some interesting moments that I feel like it could have actually done better with a few more characters, but otherwise it was good. I didn't hate it.
You felt like it could do better with a few more characters.
Yeah.
Meaning like, did it feel kind of
a few more people
budgety?
A few more people in the mix would have kept it,
would have made it better going for you.
Yeah. But otherwise, but it is very M. Night.
So on the Roberts rating system, what would you give it based on your,
I'm not going to buy it on Blu-ray for sure. I have to look at my own system. So, definitely watch it. I'd rewatch it in a hotel.
Okay, so 3 stars, hotel viewing only.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
Okay, so.
That's reassuring because M. Night can go either way. He's tended to be better, but old kind of went down, so I don't
never
know.
Old you never have a reason to ever watch again. Sometimes you just kind of rewatch. It's like, oh, did I miss something? Maybe it was better than I thought. And then, but it was fine.
Okay. It's got the wrestler in it. What's his name?
David. I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, David Batista.
Give it a watch. When it's on HBO, give it a watch.
Well, you can rent it now. I just saw it on Vudu.
Okay.
Yeah, and Google. So I might just rent that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I've seen all his movies in the theater except for Old. So I might just go check it out.
Just,
I don't know.
Just to see. So, well, if it's still there, who knows how long they last anymore. So, I did a rewatch of Mascots. So Christopher Guest, Jamie Lee Curtis's husband. So I was like, well, that was one of those. I'm like, well, maybe I didn't get it at first, and it's not true. It is so far from Best in Show that it wants to be. It feels like somebody's trying to mimic Christopher Guest, and it just doesn't work, even though he has a lot of the same players. Yeah, so but every once in a while I'm like, well, maybe I'll give it another try. But no,
I like that you do give it other tries, though. Like, from time to time I hear you say, I gave it another watch. You're fair. You're trying to like give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you know, Parker Posey, you know, he got the usual crew, but I was like, oh, it doesn't quite do it. There's still a couple parts I laugh, but yeah, not
Fred Willard's in it, right?
Yes yeah. Of course. But yeah. So I did another rewatch of Capricorn 1, which I feel like I at least watch once a year. And have you seen this? I think I've urged you to see it. And
no, this is the one from the 80s?
Yeah. 70s? 70s or 80s, yeah. So where they are supposed to go to Mars and they pull them off the shuttle right before they go, and they try to fake it and kill them, and Elliot Gould is in it.
Yeah,
Karen,
yeah, yeah.
Karen You've never... Black and James Brolin and O.J. Simpson and
the juice. Right. I haven't seen this, but you've mentioned this, and I have to put this on my list. So what is it?
I watch it at least once a year. I think I actually have two copies, because I think I have a DVD because it had an extra that the Blu-ray didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You own multiple media formats.
I own multiple media of Capricorn 1. But I think it's because I kind of grew up, you know, like it'd be on HBO sometimes. But, you know, it is still, for me, it holds up because there's actual stunts and stuff happening in real life, you know, like in 70s, 80s that we don't have anymore. So, and I kind of like the concept. But
yeah, it sounds like a really cool concept. Yeah. You know, is it well done in terms of like effects for the time?
There's not too many effects, and I think that's why I said, you know, like it is, it's happening all in camera, you know. Stunt planes, and Telly Savalas has a role, but yeah. So Brenda Vaccaro.
Oh, that's so cool.
I love Brenda Vaccaro. So, so Peter Hyams directed it. So he directed 2010 and Outland and The Relic and stuff like that. So.
He also did Time Cop, the 94 movie with Van Damme.
Well, there you go. he was good for a while.
He was good for a while. He did. He's done some good work.
Yeah, he has solid work, I'll say. So Star Chamber. I love the Star Chamber. So, but yeah. So yes, when you have time, check it out. I should just tell you, there's cop uniforms in it, and you'll.
Oh, I can't wait to start judging.
I don't think there is, but
no.
A version of NASA's in it that maybe it's not too far from the truth. Who knows?
Okay. All right.
But
it counts. It's an official governing uniform.
I just watched Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker, which Baker. I think also had a title of Night Warning. So somebody had sent it to me a long time ago. It's a horror movie that they thought I should see, or thriller horror that they thought I should have seen. And I just decided to like, hey, put this on. And yeah, it was kind of interesting. I'm surprised I had not seen it before. Jimmy McNichol's in it, Kirstie McNichol's brother.
So looking at the artwork for it, it's very interesting. It's like a nice.
Yeah, the artwork makes it look like it's a Clive Barker type thing. That's not.
It does.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, the nightmare. Yeah, exactly. And Baker kind of in your mind subliminally says Barker. Yeah.
There's a bad lieutenant cop in there. He doesn't wear a cop uniform, but, yeah. And it's a little shocking, the words that come out of their mouth. But
really,
this is a different time. Yeah.
A shocking in terms of un-PC kind of thing?
You know, and it's even well beyond un-PC, you know, it's the N word. And then, he literally has a gun to this guy's face, trying to get him to confess something in the police department, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. One of it's those.
A little, yeah, but maybe it happened back then. I don't know. Then last weekend, I binged pretty much all the up-to-date episodes of Poker Face.
Oh, yes. What's your takeaway?
I cannot recommend it more.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Yes. Obviously, I'm not a Rian Johnson fan. He's the creator. And after the first episode, I was like, I'm not sure. But my sister and parents have been watching it. And they were kind of raving about it. And just each episode is, obviously, there's the same character throughout. But each episode is kind of on its own, pretty much. Oh. And the last episode had Ms. Cherry Jones.
Yes.
So
that's all I need to hear.
Yeah, as soon as I saw her on screen, I'm like, there we go.
Yeah, that's all I need to hear is Cherry Jones, and I'm sold.
So you have to wait until episode 7 or something for that. But so I think you'll really enjoy it. I call it like Encyclopedia Brown for adults, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, cool. It's very intriguing, but I'm glad that did you watch the whole thing?
So they're still going. I had not started it, and then I kind of binge watched like 6 episodes, and then there's new one on Thursday. So once it gets going, I won't spoil anything. But you'll be 20 minutes into an episode, and Natasha Lyonne won't be in it, and then they kind of go flash back and forth, and you realize, oh, she's been there the whole time, and stuff like that. So it's
cool.
It's got me hooked. I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's amazing. Isn't that kind of nice too when you start something like a little bit after and you really like it and you're like, oh, there's already 8 episodes in or something.
Sometimes I need somebody to tell me like, hey, this now you don't, because you don't want to waste your time. I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, wasting the time is a real thing with so many options. So many times I'm just like, don't want to like commit to this. And it's just bizarre.
Yeah. So far, Poker Face, I highly recommend. And I'm like 7-8 episodes in.
Poker Face. All right. I'll give that I'll check that out too, along with
on Peacock, unless, I think.
What's that?
It's on Peacock, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So good for them.
Peacock. Good for them. All right, cool. Good to know though. I'm glad that you you watched it.
As will you.
As will I.
Using my Jedi mind trick here.
Yes, Jedi. I will open up the door and let Robert out. Okay, so it's time for revisiting the Razzies year by year. We're going to kick off, Robert, with the first Golden Raspberry Awards, which was in 1980?
It was. And the reason I kind of thought it, because I was like, a few weeks ago, they always announce and they actually end up rescinding a nominee.
For age kind of
age
thing?
Yeah, so they nominated the little girl who was in the Firestarter remake, so one she probably shouldn't have been nominated to begin with, but obviously they recognized they should not do that to a kid,
that's so mean, it's like it's a little kid, come on.
So and they kind of got me thinking it, because then they sent an article, they had rescinded another one in 1980, and so that'll show up here on the list. That was they took it back later, not right away, but for kind of a different reason. But so I kind of went down that rabbit hole a little bit. I'm like, let's check it out. And so I thought, 1980, I should still know some of these movies.
I never realized, or I didn't know when they started the Razzies. I always assumed it was sometime in like the mid 80s or something.
Yeah.
But it's a nice even year. It's a good time to start.
Yeah. They were thinking ahead. Yeah.
Thinking ahead. Just a little background. The first Golden Raspberry Awards were held on March 31st, 1981, at John Wilson's living room alcove to recognize the worst the film industry had to offer. So kind of interesting. So was the first one televised? Or?
No. I think it became a thing. It just you'd hear about later, and then it kind of grew and grew because it was one of those kind of little things that became a thing.
Became a thing. Oh yeah. Now you always see in everybody's bio, won a Razzie for this or something. Yeah.
The kind of not necessarily anti-Oscar, but
it's fun.
A supplement. Right. Sometimes they're on both,
Right, exactly. And sometimes multiple movies, like you said, on both. It's interesting. You see, like, Pearl Harbor was nominated for some actual Academy Awards for, like, sound and things.
Yeah.
But it won, like, every Razzie or was nominated, so it's
as
really
it
funny.
Should. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's unwatchable, right?
Well, it's one of those things. Yeah, I think the first 2/3 are kind of semi-watchable. And then you realize, I remember at one point, I know we've talked about this before, but it's like, oh, we're still going. Like, it's kind of like if Titanic had another, you know, 80 minutes after it sunk, you're like, wait a second, I felt like we've moved past this.
I'm so cold. You're going to be a father. No, you are. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. I do like the special effects.
I'm surprised I didn't leave early like I did Spider-Man 3. I'm like, I'm out of here. Like,
I know.
That should be the end. Yeah.
That should be the end. But nope, we're going to keep going. All right. So the first annual Golden Raspberry Awards, 1980. Robert, why don't you read off the worst screenplays, nominations and winners?
So should we do nominations first or other nominees, non-winners?
I think so.
I guess nominees who did not to mention, I kind of put. So sometimes there's quite a bit, but some of the movies I didn't recognize. So Xanadu, which.
Oof, how dare them?
I don't even know what they were thinking. So Race the Titanic, which I believe we've talked about before. You ever seen that movie?
Just YouTube clips.
Okay. That's all you need to see because literally it's 90% talking and eventually they raise the model out of the ocean at the end.
Right. I've seen the model come out and it's amazing.
Yep. But otherwise, like literally, it feels like the not final moments. It is not the final moments, but it takes a while to get there. So,
and wasn't the hype on raising the Titanic like some kind of massive marketing thing? You know,
well, I think it might have been a book first. I'm not sure, but yeah. But I do remember because you know, as a kid, you know, it'd be the ABC movie of the week, and you're like, raise, and you're like, ooh, and about an hour, you're like, this isn't. They're not doing anything, you know.
Yeah, we're just talking at this point.
Yeah, so I could see why that was literally just bad for, in a different way than Xanadu. Xanadu is at least enjoyable in a kitschy way. So, Cruising. So William Friedkin's Cruising, which we talked about not too long ago, because there was a lot of homage from the latest American Horror Story, New York City, to Cruising. But I think it's another one that kind of found their audience later, but.
Yeah, Al Pacino had kind of a cult following years later.
They did not like it. So, but the winner, and the winner a couple times in this, or I think they're at least mentioned, is Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music. This is the Village People movie.
Yes, yeah, so the Village People, Valerie Perrine's in it, Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, Steve Guttenberg. I think this is one of his first roles. Then all your favorite 70s actors, even though it's 1980.
But you know, the Ritchie family's in there. They're a vocal group from Philadelphia, from the disco.
And so I remember seeing it, and I was also, by the time it hit cable or whatever, you know, disco was truly dead. And this was
the timing.
Like, yeah, this was like a nothing movie, so it wasn't even worth watching on HBO. It wasn't even worth having on in the background. But no. So probably a reason it is a winner. So
and worth noting as a constant theme in the Razzies or happens quite frequently is the budget. Budget was $20 million, or $13.5 million according to that. So $7 million is unaccounted for. Only grossed $2 million at the box office.
For 1970s, that probably meant that was drug money on the set. To
oh yeah, yeah. What happened to $7 million? Cocaine.
Oh, so all legitimate there. I get it, except for Xanadu. So, for worst supporting actors, I only put a few other nominees. So Elizabeth Ashley for Windows, who actually I love Elizabeth Ashley, but I had not seen Windows, so maybe she just did. She was having an off day, maybe. So.
Could have been the Coke from Can't Stop the Music.
Maybe. And they couldn't afford Coke on the set, so Betsy Palmer for Friday the 13th.
How dare them?
Exactly. She put in a good last 15-minute performance that... Well, it's kind of like Silence of the Lambs. You only need 11 minutes on screen to...
That's it.
To make a difference forever, so...
It's like The Godfather when Al Pacino had more screen time than Brando by a lot, and he was nominated for Best Supporting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he was kind of there 80% of the movie. But I wonder if Betsy Palmer got lumped in there because the critics assume the quality critique Friday the 13th is poor. Because I don't Is she deserving of that? I don't think so.
I don't. You know, at the time, she does a little bit of overacting, I guess, but that's her character. Yeah. You know, like
yeah.
Certainly not as crazy as I've kind of seen some others, but
right.
I thought she did a good job. She's scary, you know. She is kind of a scary
person.
Yeah,
it worked.
You know, so.
Right.
And you actually believe that she's running around killing all these people, unlike Scream 5. What? The girl was like 95 pounds. And right. Come on.
Right. Come on. Help us out here.
She's picking up Dewey. And yeah.
That was ridiculous. Scream 5.
Winner was Amy Irving for Honeysuckle Rose. So
Honeysuckle Rose, I don't even know what that is.
I remember it is a boring movie that would be on HBO that you would just click it off because there was only one HBO at the time, and that was it.
So now, yeah, you're either watching it or you're not.
Yeah. So
Honeysuckle Rose. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember too much about it except for the poster, the sepia tone kind of sunset poster.
Oh yeah, sunset. Yeah. I'm looking at it. Interesting. But, well, it's got Willie Nelson in it, so he couldn't carry the film. I'm not buying it.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we talk about, you know, music, singing artists, whatever, you know, in all of these movies, and like it's always been that way. That you're like they're a hit on the radio. We got to see him on the big screen.
But, yeah, Vanilla Ice did a movie. I mean, come on.
Hey, I even covered it on my website.
You did. Cool as Ice.
Oh yeah. Yes. So we're
that's not mine. It's my homeboys.
It gets some recognition.
Yeah.
We're supporting actor Marlon Brando. The Formula.
I don't even know what The Formula is.
It's something with George C. Scott's in it, and there's a formula Nazi from the Nazis, whatever, that I think was infiltrated into the U.S. and they have to get it and so forth. So it's non. And here's the thing with the Razzie. Some of these are pretty non-memorable. So it means it was bad in a boring way versus bad in a I remember the good times way. So
oh okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a recurring theme.
Yeah. So and Marlon was probably just being Marlon at that point. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Phoning it in.
Charles Grodin seems like old times, which I feel like he can do no wrong in any of his. He is also overacting in all of his movies, but he is one of my favorites.
Does.
The Great Muppet Caper, come on.
Right, exactly. He just passed away last year.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. So sad. Incredible Shrinking Woman. It was good. So
he was. He had a cameo in Dave, which I love.
Did he?
I don't remember. Yeah, he played as like his buddy that helped him balance the national budget.
He's somebody you could count on.
I love Bratwurst.
I don't know this guy, David Selby, but he was in Raise the Titanic, so I felt like I had to put him in there. So
yeah, that makes sense.
So for the worst supporting winner, there was a tie that year.
Ooh, the Board of Governors tied it in.
Oh yeah, Laurence Olivier for The Jazz Singer. Which
have I don't you know seen the Jazz Singer?
Okay. Oh well, it'll come up later. In this,
is it thing. A remake of the original, the first
it
talking
is,
film?
It is, and I've talked about it before.
Is Neil Diamond in that?
Neil Diamond is the Jazz Singer.
Okay, yes. I know what it is. Okay.
You homework right there, the Jazz Singer.
Because it's so bad.
It's a little, it's endearing to me because I grew up with it.
All right, I'm gonna put it on the list here next to Capricorn One.
Yeah, all my favorite.
The Jazz Singer.
And then Jada Adams for Gloria.
Gloria. Okay.
So
they tied.
Yeah, and this is a kid as well, so I'm not sure why must have been before they decided to take that back. So I don't know, but I do like
okay.
Gloria. So, and Gloria was remade with Sharon Stone in a not so good way, but.
Oh, not flattering.
No, and I did rewatch Gloria a couple months ago just to see how it was. So I like it better now. I mean, it's not made for
you kids. Do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's some hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. So, worst actress, excuse me. So nominees: Nancy Allen, Dressed to Kill; Brian De Palma.
Yeah,
and I know she was dating De Palma, but I don't know if they got married at some point. But she ended up being in a couple of his movies. So
she's Michael Caine's in that movie, right?
Yes,
Okay.
Faye Dunaway was nominated for The First Deadly Sin.
First Deadly Sin.
Farrah Fawcett for Saturn III.
Okay.
Sandra Locke for Bronco Billy.
Bronco Billy.
Olivia Newton-John for Xanadu.
Shame
on them. So, and then Valerie Perrine for Can't Stop the Music. So,
okay,
it's one of those. You know, it keeps coming up, but I still love obviously Valerie, her Superman and Superman 2 as Miss Tessmacher.
Oh yeah, yeah,
still the best. Yeah, so
she's fun.
She's still a lot of fun. So, the winner that year though was Brooke Shields for The Blue Lagoon.
Poor Brooke, man. Brooke was a child.
Yeah, how old was she in this one? She was
like, what, 14 or something?
Yeah. It got away with nudity back then at that age.
Well, she did that. Remember she did the Calvin Klein ads?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was like borderline child pornography. She was young. She's spoken about that too. Yeah. She said she was just so, she can't believe, you know, that as a child people were making her do this.
Yeah, and I don't know if she ever talked about, did her parents push her, or did it just happen? I don't know.
I don't know.
It was different times. I get a little bit, but I think even back then we were like, this isn't right, you know?
Yeah, this isn't right. What's your thoughts on The Blue Lagoon and its sequels?
I barely remember. It'd be on, you know, and I just remember I don't remember any dialogue, really.
There's very few.
Yeah, learning to fish and so forth. And then you think it'd be, I think as a kid you thought it'd be more titillating, but it was also just not that exciting. I remember there's a shark incident that freaked me out. But
yeah, that's like kind of the highlight. Other than that, it's pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah. So, and then I know Return to the Blue Lagoon I can't remember who
Jovovich.
Played. Yeah. I think that's her. And somebody else. And I don't know if they made any more after that, but I heard Return to Blue Lagoon's even worse.
It's pretty weak.
Have you seen
it? Yeah, I watched it once back in the day, and it was it's pretty bad.
Good. So but this is the one they actually rescinded a nomination years later, and that was for Shelley Duvall for The Shining. Because they realized that she was under duress.
Oh, she was abused.
Yeah.
Constantly.
But Shining's been interesting because it built on itself. It obviously wasn't too liked at the time. And even then, when I was younger, I didn't really like it. And then nobody really liked Shelley screaming and crying the whole time. And then we're kind of, I think now people kind of get it, obviously. But
well, exactly. And The Shining, Shelley Duvall's performance is very polarizing based on what you said. You know, you have some people on one side of the token that are saying like she's ugly, and which is just mean. And you know, the screaming, the crying, it's terrible. And the other side says, you know, she nailed it. She played it right. When you consider, especially what Kubrick was doing to her,
yeah,
to give her some credit. So that's a good
And that's what he wanted, you know.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
He wanted her at wit's end, and as that's probably what you'd be like in real life. So.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, you're a mess.
Good for her. So. Worst actors, some of the nominees. Michael Beck for Xanadu.
No love for Xanadu.
They really did not. I couldn't have been more excited as a kid to see that in the theater.
Counting, it's a fun movie.
I was counting the days to see that. I always thought it came out at Christmas because I remember under the Christmas tree, the Xanadu album, like the package had slightly ripped and I could see it was purple. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting the Xanadu album. And so I thought maybe it came out Christmas. I think it came out like in August or something. Like, I'm like, I had to wait 5 months for the album. No wonder I was recording it off the radio, the songs. But
remember those days though, like before the internet, you're like, you have to really wait for the tangible thing.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
Months and months and months. Yeah. But anyway,
that's a good record.
Michael Caine was nominated for two movies, Dressed to Kill and The Island.
Oh, poor Michael Caine that year.
Yeah. But, you know, he's one of those, obviously, and I'm sure he was nominated for Jaws 87.
I'm sure he later. Won.
But he's also doesn't give an F. He just, he's like, well, I got paid. No.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great actor. So he doesn't, you know.
Kirk Douglas for Saturn III. So obviously Saturn III is like just kind of a bad sci-fi movie. Obviously, they're still trying to cash in on Star Wars. So,
yeah.
Anthony Hopkins, you probably never heard of, but he was nominated for Change of Seasons.
Change of Seasons. I think 1980 was the year of the Elephant Man too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Which he won the Oscar for, I think.
So maybe he did, maybe he was one of those. They got a Razzie and an Oscar or Oscar nomination in the same year, perhaps.
Yeah. It was 1980.
Okay, so, well, you know what? What do the actors say? You do one for them, and you do one for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss for the competition. I feel like Amy Irvin's in that one as well, but I'm not surprised. Richard Dreyfuss just seems like he's probably just a big ass on the set. So,
yeah, I think so.
He thinks pretty highly of himself, but maybe not.
He's an actor.
But he did stoop low enough to do a cameo in Piranha 2.
Right. Yeah. So good for him.
Piranha 1, the first one, I can't remember.
And smart enough to not do Jaws 2. So.
Yeah. Would it have helped, though? I don't know. What if he came back for Jaws 4, maybe?
I don't know if that ship could ever be like, saved.
He'd also be in the Bahamas. Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner for Can't Stop the Music. I guess he wasn't really an actor back then. He was just a athletic celebrity. So I'm not sure if...
It was more about the name for him.
Just to be there. So, and Sam Jones for Flash Gordon, which...
Flash Gordon.
I do love Flash, so...
Yeah.
He has been doing... did I meet him? Yeah, I've met him at different conventions, so...
Sam Jones?
I have, and I saw this in the theater.
That is so cool.
I vividly remember that me and my friend went to Flash Gordon, and I think my sister and her friend went to Popeye.
You saw Popeye theatrically?
No, she did. Like we split up. Like we went to the boys' movie, and they went to Popeye.
You picked the better film.
I think we did. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But. The winner. I'm gonna skip that over. Neil Diamond, the jazz singer.
Neil Diamond, the jazz singer. Everybody. Mm. Now, was the jazz singer a pet project of Neil's or something, or was he just? Yeah, because it's an interesting choice to have Neil Diamond as a lead.
It is. I mean, he brought him in.
He was bigger than life in 1982.
Yeah. So he would be he was the Beyonce of 1980. it's one of those, like, I think like Xanadu and the jazz singer, I think the albums did 6 times as well as the actual movie,
one of those deals,
super platinum for all of them, even though the movie tanked. So I don't think that was on purpose by the studio. Now studios probably purposely say, we'll make all the money here, release the shitty movie, but the music is good and that's how we'll make our money. But that was not the case back then. So,
but was there something, very offensive about the jazz singer, the remake?
Well, no, in the original, I guess there's some offensiveness because of the kind of blackface moment. They do touch on that, I guess, in the remake. I'll say that.
Okay.
I don't want to give anything away.
Don't spoil it. But yeah, I remember hearing something about that. That's why I asked. Yeah. But I guess it was the original. I know it was pretty offensive. But
and it's not. I mean, it's of course it takes place in 1980 and current time at the time. So and there's a lot of things that are changed. It's just kind of the main story of it's not too different than I'm not sure why it's called the jazz singer, I'll be honest, because there's not too much
jazz being
there
said.
Is not, so it really could be called anything else, but
Neil Diamond, but it's a true remake of it.
It's has the same title, yes.
Oh, so really, it was kind of maybe just like a cash grab. Like, let's just
maybe it did start out, one way, and then it began a campaign, something else. And I could see. I mean, didn't do my research on that, but I could see that maybe they were trying to do a true remake, and then Neil Diamond got attached, and it became a completely different, kind of like when Barbara Streisand becomes part of your movie. It's like, and now it's completely different,
Hey, yeah, you have Neil in the passenger seat, 1980. I mean, you figure, I mean, like you said, the soundtrack alone, it's going to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's catchy songs. I mean, it brought me back hearing some of the songs.
Oh, nice. So
that's on your homework list.
Are they Neil originals? Because I'm pretty familiar with
catalog. I think they are. Yes. So,
okay.
And once you hear the songs, you're like, oh, I've heard the song. And you might just not have known that it came from a movie.
All right, I'm going to add that to the homework list.
All right, definitely. So worst director. So some of the nominees: John Avildsen from The Formula, Brian De Palma, Dressed to Kill.
There it is.
Have you seen Dressed to Kill? Or has it been a while?
Angie Dickinson. It's been a while. Yeah.
Angie Dickinson, kind of in the Janet Leigh type role. Super soft focus film. Just Vaseline.
It is. All it is lands. Right.
Yeah. Speaking of Barbara, yeah, like you couldn't get it. Why release it on Blu-ray? Because it'll just look the same.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's no enhancements being done.
No. William Friedkin for Cruising.
Cruising.
Sidney J. Fury / Richard Fleischer for The Jazz Singer. So maybe there's some co-directing going on.
Oh, maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, maybe that was the issue. So maybe it was kind of like a Superman 2 thing. But Sidney J. Fury, right. Did he direct Jaws? 87? Not Jaws. I felt like he directed...
Did he?
I don't know. I feel like he directed something. He directed Superman 4.
Oh, there it is.
That yeah, it's like he directed something that we love.
Quest for Peace. Yeah, we know that we love it.
There you go. You can from 1980 to 87, you can see what happened.
That's exactly.
Which I said they just put the pre-orders up for the Superman 4K collection, including Superman 4 and 4K for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Can't wait to see how those special effects hold up.
Is it? It's available now.
Pre-orders are. I think it comes out in April. So
we know what we're doing in April.
Oof!
Something wonderful.
Wait, something.
It's only money.
As I was about to say, should I buy it? And then your response is, "Oh, Lacey, it's only money."
You get a ticket here.
How much a ticket would cost? I feel like we should do a stage show of Superman 4.
Could you imagine? The set wouldn't have to be changed that much.
No.
The set in the original was pretty much just cutouts.
Yeah, yeah. I think we do. Can you imagine us trying to do the version of where Superman and Clark are in the same scene? They keep ringing the doorbell and showing up. And
he's out of breath when he's downstairs.
Yes.
And then the Great Wall scene. Just please.
Somebody's got to do it. Throwing that out there in the universe.
Yeah, please. Superman 4, Quest for Peace musical.
Some little L.A. theater. So, Stanley Kubrick for The Shining.
Wow.
One of the worst director nominees. So
talk about a topical entry. I mean, yikes. Now
way
that's considered like his crowning achievement or one of them. You know?
It is strange. It is that we still talk about it. And because we were talking about Hereditary last week, I was like, I feel like Hereditary is probably our maybe new Shining that will continue to dissect that.
It'll be studied
a couple decades to come.
Yeah, because the Shining, there's like college courses on studying that film. You know what I mean?
Which is strange because on one hand, there's not too much to it, and I mean, there's layers and so forth, but it's a film still. You know, it's.
Yeah.
With, you know, five characters. So
exactly. Good point.
How much could there be to still find out? But I still see a little something different every time I watch it. So
yeah.
Also with the winner, Robert Greenwald for worst director of Xanadu.
Xanadu. No love for Xanadu on this list.
They really, you know.
They should rescind that.
Yeah.
Truly.
Olivia was embarrassed at one point. I don't think she was. I think she kind of knew what she was in for. And
it's a fun film. I've only seen it once, though. I know you like you've seen it multiple
many times, and I've seen Xanadu on Broadway multiple times.
How many times would you say you've seen Xanadu?
Oh,
like realistically,
I don't know. Dozens, dozens, and dozens.
See, you're a true fan.
I am a true fan. So and. Some of my favorite locations to visit and go to. And I almost, so when a few years ago, Olivia had at Julian's Auctions, a lot of her stuff on display. So she had a few Xanadu. Oh, yeah. And I do, you know, when I have regrets, years ago at the end, you know, the Xanadu Club, the workers are wearing Xanadu jackets. They had one on eBay.
No way.
I did not get it. And I wanted it so bad.
How much was it going for?
You know, now in retrospect, probably not that much. I would have paid a lot more, you know. But
yeah, that's a steal if you could find that again.
Yes, the and I'm trying to remember. So so last year, it was before Olivia died, that the Xanadu letter, the Xanadu letters from the nightclub that were in neon in the background, were for sale or on auction. And I thought I had a pretty decent amount that I was willing to pay. And they're not that big. I mean, probably it's probably 10 feet across by, you know, 2 or 3 yeah. feet tall. So I think I was willing to pay, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, $5,000 for it, you know, or something like that. So they went for, actually, I see my bid. I was willing to pay $7,500 for these.
That's a good price, though.
I thought it was a good price.
For something you love? Yeah.
They actually went for $27,500.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That is a lot. Oof. Did they get the, did somebody buy it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they, somebody bought it for. So.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. So. Wow. Could have been mine right behind me the whole time.
Could have been right there. You'll get it back.
Yeah. One day.
I say back like somebody stole it. Like, you'll get it back, Robert.
I do feel like it was kind of stolen from me. So.
Kind of was.
Yeah. So.
I know, right, GoFundMe we're creating this weekend.
Like, I need them.
I need this.
All right. Worst picture. So nominees and some, I think there's only a couple that we haven't, weren't nominated elsewhere. So Cruising, The Formula, Friday the 13th, which was our only horror movie. I wonder if 1981 will have even more horror movies, but yeah. it was kind of like a dirty movie back then, you know? People
yeah.
did not.
They weren't down with the smut. Just
trash it. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
The Jazz Singer. The Nude Bomb.
What is this?
Have you not seen The Nude Bomb?
I have not seen The Nude Bomb.
Oh, my gosh. So this is like the movie version of, it's with Don Adams, with Maxwell gosh. Smart. Yeah.
Get
so
smart.
They made a, this is like the movie version. I don't think they made other movies, but this was the movie version called The Nude Bomb.
Oh, my gosh.
The title is much more titillating than the actual movie. So
it grossed $14 million off of $15 million. Like, it was right there. It was right. It's like kind of, even that's even more sad. At least a bomb, yeah. You can like make fun of it, but you're like, it was so close.
Yeah. So, I can't really recommend watching it even with that title. Raise the Titanic, Saturn III, Windows, and Xanadu, all nominees. But the winner was Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music, which also was the winner for Worst Screenplay. So.
Yeah, so way to go. I wonder if it got, it didn't get any Oscar nominees, but it could have gotten, it could be one of those that could have got a best song, but I think they were all old recycled songs they used.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. I guess, would you say it's a fair Razzie list? I mean, aside from like Shining stuff.
Except for Xanadu.
Yeah.
But Xanadu kind of came in on its own. But yeah, I would say fair. Fair enough.
Fair enough. And not a lot of memorable movies. I mean, there's some in here that are classics, some are cult classics, but like The Nude Bomb, I'm not seeing streaming on too many. Not even Tubi's touching Nude Bomb.
I didn't even do locations for The Nude Bomb. I think it was all, I think it actually was all Universal Studios. I think I actually go on the tram tour once and during the movie, if I remember correctly. So
right. Did you really?
So right. I think they did in the movie, because I think they go through the, we used to have Parting the Waters, the tram would go through.
Yeah.
In the olden days, even though I vividly remember going through it. So yeah. When did they stop that? I don't know.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It's funny though.
I miss those times, and I hate that everything's being replaced with 3D screens.
I know.
Rides and so forth.
I know. The practical sets were like so much fun, you know.
But anyway, well, you have your homework, you know.
I got some homework. I got Capricorn One, Jazz Singer, and
maybe Knock at the Cabin. You can
Knock at the Cabin.
You can wait to HBO for that one, I think. But
yeah. Don't waste the money on it.
No, it's a long Twilight Zone, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, then that was a good list, though. I'm excited to keep revisiting the Razzies because
we'll see if we know more as the time progresses. But there's a lot I do remember just on HBO, because there were just, that's all we had on cable at the time, and once something was on, you're like, well, that's it for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's it.
It's that or Nickelodeon.
Right. This is it. We have to. We don't have the option, so we're doing it. But that was a cool list. So thanks for putting that together.
Yeah.
And next up, we're gonna do since Xanadu got no love, we're gonna do an original trailer reaction of the original Xanadu trailer.
Ooh.
Which I've never seen, Robert.
I don't know if I have seen it either. Really? I'm sure I'm sure I did when I was 10. But
I'm sure you did. But it's nice to revisit.
Yeah, I probably peed my pants.
And we're gonna give Xanadu some love because it deserves it. All right, here we go.
Open your eyes and hear the magic. Universal Pictures announces the most dazzling romantic musical fantasy in years. Xanadu. Starring Olivia Newton-John.
The girl you love in Grease.
I love Michael Beck.
And Gene Kelly. I'm alive, and the
I always love the 70s or 80s font. Fonts.
It's all musical.
It's all musical.
Yellow.
The great yellow.
Xanadu. It's a love story about a boy and girl from two very different worlds whom no one can keep apart. It's a spectacular entertainment that will transport you beyond your dreams. Xanadu, where time stops and the magic never ends. Xanadu.
Time stops and the music never ends.
Oh, brings me back.
That takes me back. Makes
me want to watch it. I'm picturing 10-year-old me in the theater seeing that and
it's the greatest.
Freaking out. So actually I like that trailer. So it was faster paced trailer than I was expecting for a 1980.
Yeah, I did. I thought the same thing. It was faster paced. It wasn't toned down and snoozy.
A little bit of a 40s with the big font is like, remember Olivia Newton-John.
Remember Olivia Newton-John.
It's a romance. It's a musical. It's everything.
With the booming voice. And you're just like, oh, okay.
In retrospect, they're probably like, cut it really fast. People won't know what to expect.
Right. Keep slicing it as quick as you can.
It's all music, which is not true, but
well, it's all musical, Robert.
All musical. Yeah, I'm sorry.
What's the grammar significance of that? It's all musical. Doesn't really make sense.
I don't know.
All music, or the entire thing's a musical, but it's all musical.
Well, it was the 80s that we
doesn't matter, right?
We're gonna have thesaurus.com to help us out back then. The kind of split up of rectangles or whatever, I remember they did that for the Revenge of the Jedi trailer a couple years later.
Oh, did they?
Had the same,
Yeah.
Because I remember the same thing. So I probably had the same trailer director or editor kind of do that. But I vividly remember.
Return of the Jedi?
It was when it was still Revenge of the Jedi. That it would have the, as they'd have these still shots and so you'll have to check it out or I'll look for it. And so it's the same style. So probably same editor over there that did that.
Oh yeah. That's exciting though. That's funny.
So I don't know. It made me want to watch it again. Got me kind of re-excited. So I saw those Xanadu neon letters in the background behind Gene Kelly.
Yeah, they get you fired up.
$27,000.
And Gene Kelly, I would say.
On skates.
On skates at that, and he wasn't a spring chicken in 1980.
No, there was a, I think when he signed on, he had certain rules, like he would not dance and he would not do something else. And obviously they convinced him to dance. So there was, from what I know, my little behind the scenes Xanadu knowledge that I do know of, that there was, he was convinced to obviously do something a one-off with Olivia and John. So they kind of have that. But yeah, I'm surprised they got him on skates, but
it was. Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, yeah. He was in movies with Sinatra in the 40s. I mean, for him to be doing that on roller skates at that age is impressive.
And now if there's a location I wish I could have ever gone to, it would be the Pan Pacific Auditorium, which burnt down.
Oh, yeah. You wish you had that.
That's where Xanadu was, exterior was located. So,
right.
I do, if I could have one wish to go back in time, that it would be to go visit that location.
And have it in the archives.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah.
Well, speaking of locations, it's every little boy and girl's favorite part of the show, Blind Man's Bluff. Mm. Are you ready for this magical experience?
All right. I'm putting my thinking cap. Yep.
And today marks the anniversary, not really, but this is just the description,
okay,
of the third blank film released on August 1st, 2003. What is it, Robert? What could it be?
2003, and it's the number three?
It's the third franchise.
Third
entry in the franchise. I'll give you a hint. It has the word wedding in it. Doesn't
have American Pie... three,
and that is what it is, okay, sir. Take us on this journey. What tell us about this.
I barely remember doing this movie, so
Robert was blacked out during this.
I was blacked out, so yeah, so this is down the Orange Circle, I guess it is, down in Orange. Have you ever been down here?
I have not been to Orange, yeah, California.
So And you know it on my website. So this kind of area, the circle, has been used in Big Mama's House and American Horror Story, Cult, Stepford Children, all the big hits, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little kind of quiet circle. And I remember when I was down there, I think they were getting, everything was blocked off to get ready for Halloween, I think. So
it's a nice filming location for sure. Yeah,
it is nice. And it just kind of has that kind of small town feel, even though it's down in Orange. So.
Yeah. Is Orange a bigger city? I've never been.
Is it what?
Like a bigger kind of city? Does it feel like a Burbank?
It's a sprawl. No, it isn't. It doesn't feel like Burbank. It's just kind of, and I don't go that far south too often, but
yeah.
Even though it's really not that far away. So, Jim's house still in Long Beach. So they've kind of did some revisits there. The dress shop. I'm kind of surprised that I went out of my way to go to these locations.
I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, for somebody. So, the florist shop, that's back in on that Orange Circle.
Okay,
and I think that might have been the meat shop in American Horror Story. I can't
Lay's
remember.
Lay's Pizza, Delicioso.
Have you had? I don't ever had it. So
yeah, it's good. It's really, really good.
That does sound good. So, The florist house is back down in Long Beach. They have a thing for Long Beach for some reason. Where's this
Love
one supposed
Long
to,
Beach.
Is this supposed to take place in Michigan or somewhere? Where is this supposed to take place?
Yeah, I think it's Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you think of Michigan, Long Beach, you know.
Naturally.
Yeah. So I know the wedding venue is in a couple different locations, and the only one I've actually been to was the Huntington Library.
This is in San Marino.
Yeah. So, which is used in many, many, many films. So the hotel part of the venue, I think that was somewhere maybe in Northern California. Anyway, somewhere I never been, but.
Okay. Well, this is a really detailed page. I think you did a good job.
I think if I happen to be in the area, obviously I stop by these locations. So, and did
I'm sorry. Do you visit this movie ever?
No, that's what I was like. I don't even remember it, because it had the first American Pie was good and it had its value, and part two was like even though I've done that one as well, and three, and I did, it was four is the one where they brought them all back together again,
American Reunion,
yeah, and so not, that was also not good. And I know they've had almost not subset, you know, American Pie and they fill in the blank subtitle, which are not really tied to, I think it's like Stifler's Brother and so forth, but
They really drilled that franchise into the ground. But first one was a big hit, you know?
Between this and Christopher Guest got Jennifer Coolidge kind of off the ground, you know, out of backup actress and help her become well-known as Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom.
I think she's probably still known for, despite all these other things. So,
some people think Jennifer Coolidge is going to be like the next Betty White.
She's not as snappy funny, but
no,
yeah,
like she's deserving of a lot of of credit, of course. I don't see her being like the next Betty White.
No, I can't picture Jennifer Coolidge being on a roast. You know, as one of the roasters, right. You know, and stuff like that. That
right.
You need to be kind of on top of your game for that.
Yeah, you have to be. Mm. So that's a good point.
But will tell listeners, I did finally update my Halloween Ends page with over, I think it's like 1,080 pictures.
Oh my gosh.
So enough that I had to make sub pages.
That's so cool.
Because otherwise 1,000 pages to pull up would be quite a while. So.
We'll have to segment them and do it on the next show.
Yeah,
that's so pretty exciting.
Sometimes, so the owner was. I put a little note saying, "Please don't bother the owners."
I'm just glancing at it. You really did do a lot of work on it.
I did. He said people have been coming. They're redoing the porch, and somebody came up and stole a brick and stuff like that. So he gets a little. I mean, annoyed.
Yeah, I would be a little annoyed. Yeah, so. I'll just give a quick preview. Here's a great shot of Robert sitting here deep in thought, like Jamie Lee Curtis.
I feel bad. So I, inside the house, you know, we were inside the house for like an hour, and I was outside doing some more shots, and I'm like, can I have you take a picture of me for my, I call it my cherry blossom shot, you know?
You have to have it.
I was trying to replicate Jamie Lee kind of staring off.
You nailed it. Too. Yeah, don't take bricks from people's homes, people, please.
Yeah, I should have asked for a brick. I don't.
He probably would have given you one.
Yeah, actually,
very beloved on set. Yeah.
I think I'm going to ask for some wallpaper, extra wallpaper. So
yeah, get some wallpaper in there. Yeah. But yeah, we should revisit this and do a proper episode on it because it's pretty fantastic just from looking at it first.
I put a lot of work into that one. So
you did. I can tell. Great job on that.
Thank you.
And great job on American Wedding as well.
And you know what? I need to do a proper Capricorn One page.
You haven't. You don't have an entry on that one.
I have visited a lot of locations, but I have not created a page. Ooh. So shame on me. But I'm trying to do that. So like this morning, I did a copycat page, finally. So with Sigourney Weaver and Holly Hunter. So. Been to those locations like it's almost been 10 years, and so I said I really need to put those on a page.
And you put it together on setjetter.com.
Yep, so it's live, even though it's not even anniversary date. So because it is one of my favorite movies, so
yeah, you've spoken to this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to put that one on the docket as well.
It's a good one, people.
It's a good one, folks. You heard it from the maestro himself.
1995, how many years? 28 years now?
I know. Yeah, because it's Jurassic Park is 30 this year.
Oh my God.
I know.
How does that happen?
I feel so sad.
I'm trying to imagine 25-year-old me seeing this in the theater. I mean, I was, you know, but.
Yeah. What was your takeaway when you first saw it?
I really liked it. You know, I mean, that was pre-internet, or obviously internet wasn't a big thing back then. So all you had was a trailer and maybe an Entertainment Weekly preview, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In the magazine, like, coming up next week, you know, here's what's coming out in theaters. So,
yeah, the infancy of internet trailers was funny, too, because there was like, they weren't always on YouTube. YouTube wasn't even a thing yet. So they maybe had a website, and a lot of them didn't have the trailer because the Flash wasn't supported.
And I remember the obviously the Star Wars, the Phantom Menace trailer. I remember that was a big deal where it kind of broke the internet.
Yeah.
I vividly remember trying to download the trailer for Final Destination in 2000.
Oh, really?
And young people don't know the dial up. You know, you just had to wait, and if there was any blip, you had to start over, and it
ruined your day.
The image of the trailer was so bad. Now it was a big deal back then, but it was just like so almost unrecognizable, you know, like,
oh yeah,
versus our kind of HD that we're used to now. But
and they took up so much memory. I remember downloading like a trailer and
delete it.
Yeah, to delete it. And it was from this website. It was called like movie-trailers.com. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, and this guy would just like upload them. And he must have had like a server because he had like, you know, any available trailer. And I used to leave him on overnight and like download it because he, the dial-up, you just couldn't do it.
Mm. Well, the E-channel.
What's that?
The E-channel used to, now you're reminding me, on Saturdays would have a half hour of movie trailers.
Oh, that's cool.
That was the only time you could see, because, you know, they were just in the theater at the time. And so,
oh yeah,
you know, you'd see a Twister, you know, the 30-second Twister trailer, and like that was it. And then, so sometimes on Saturdays you could see it, but you never knew what they were going to show. And I'm like, oh, I hope they show the Twister.
Oh, that's so cool.
The tire hitting, you know, trailer or whatever, but you had to wait till Saturday.
You had to wait.
Yeah.
Ugh. I saw a meme recently. It was like some 90s kid smiling, and he goes, just download an Limp Bizkit song and ruin the family's computer. And I felt like that was me, like downloading music from God knows what sharing
Napster
site.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
LimeWire. It's like,
oh, nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even good. It was super non-user friendly. You know, it was like,
yeah,
you might not have been downloading what you think you are. You know, but,
oh, yeah. It was so bad. And almost looking back, it almost wasn't worth it. Like, just buy the CD at the time.
It was, CDs were expensive.
They were pricey. $15 at the wall.
Yeah.
Sam Goody.
Oof. But yeah. Yikes. So we'll cover these, and maybe as we look forward, I'm sure some of the Razzies are end up being locations that I visited. So we'll take a look.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll plug those in. Yeah. Well, that'll be our show tonight, Robert. Thanks as always for coming on, sir.
Always good to see you.
Always great to see you too. Check out Robert's website at setjetter.com, and we will see you on the set.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. We would be warm below the storm in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave.